Praise the Lord. Wow. He's a good pastor. This song, especially the last one, goes perfectly with how I feel tonight. One of my good friends, a pastor in our church, minister, a pioneer in the children's ministry, Pavel Leahu, went to be with the Lord. While we had church here this morning, happened any kind of affected us all. I invite you to pray for the family and pray for everyone that the Lord comforts them. Tonight, I was asked to speak in English. In the morning service, I thought I was asked to speak in Romanian. I spoke in English, and now I am asked to speak in English, and I'll speak in Romanian maybe. I am a rebel. I don't listen to anybody but my wife and, of course, to the Lord. I invite you to stand and because, you know, it's late. We had a big service, longer service. We had a huge meal. I know that you are kind of tired. Look, I see that. I'm going to read a long passage, so I hope you pay attention. I'm going to read the whole chapter, plus one verse. So I'm going to read chapter 61 from the book of Isaiah. It's a beautiful chapter. It's a prophetic. It's messianic. It's loaded with what God has for us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Stranger shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. And you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbers for burnt offering. And I'll direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offsprings among the people. And all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, and as the bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorns herself with the jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Amen. And I have another verse I want to read. Let me find it quickly. It's from the 1 John chapter 2, actually, verse 27. It's a beautiful verse, and this verse states, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Amen. I invite you to have a seat. I agree that we had a beautiful day, an amazing morning, amazing service. I personally rejoiced in the Spirit of the Lord. I saw a good atmosphere. I think good things are happening, and it's good to be part of what God is doing. You know, one day we all have to retire, Frate Lazar. That's the thing. I think. Actually, let me start with this story. A couple of years back, Anthony preached his first short message in church, and he did great. So at the end of the service, you know, people went to him and said, "Anthony, you did so great, man. You could replace your dad. That your dad could retire now." And he came to me and told me the story. He said, "Dad, a lot of people approached me and said, it never happened to me. I don't know what to do with this." But they came to me and said, "You know, Anthony, you did so good. Now your dad could retire." And for some reason, he thought that I'm sad. I'm not ready for that. So he said, "Daddy," he patted me on my shoulder and said, "Daddy, don't worry. I don't want to be pastor of this church." I said, "Anthony, why not, man? Why not?" He said, "Daddy, I don't want people to say that I'm a much better preacher than you." Right? And we all have to do that one day. But today's a glorious day. It's God ordained. And God is taking care of his people. And tonight I have a message that let me see if my tablet here, my phone works. It does. It's a bit different and difficult and not common, not spoken a lot about. But this is the message God laid on my heart. It's called, "The Anointing Abides in You." The anointing abides in you. You see, we don't talk much about that. We do it occasionally. But the subject of anointing, it's one of the most important subjects in the Bible. Now, as I'm growing older, I just turned 53. Thank you. Right? As I'm growing older, the last few years, I learned, and I'm trying to learn more, to walk, to operate in the anointing God has for my life. I'm really following that. I'm praying, "Lord, I don't want to do something that's not anointed by you. I don't want to do something in my own flesh, my own desire, because I want to do something. I really want to walk, to work, to do whatever I do under the anointing of God." And there is promise in Scripture that we need to have this anointing and we need to work in this anointing. The whole passage talks about that in Isaiah. And in Luke 4, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes this passage and applies to himself. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord anointed me. We don't talk much about it. I mean, most of the time we think about anointing, it's if we have an anointing here and we pray for someone, anointing someone with oil, we ordain someone like we did today, and that's about it. I mean, we practice in some ways. And I remember years back, I had a shock about anointing. About 14, 15 years ago, I attended a revival with mostly American, very charismatic people. And the preacher had a call. I said, hey, I want to pray for people. I want to anoint people with oil. And I went forward, and, you know, I have a small bottle here. He had big bottle, like a gallon. And I went there, and he saw me look at me, and he prayed for me. And then he filled his palm with oil. He did my hair. You know, it was like I had gel in my hair. Now, I don't know, I mean, how it works exactly, but I'm telling you the truth now. During that time of my life, my stupid hair started to leave my smart head. And suddenly the hair became wise. And I never lost hair ever since. So it works, you know. But we have different understanding about the anointing. And today, I mean, I'm very, very serious about this. I think this is one of the most important things for our church as a minister to understand. The power of God's anointing, or the Spirit's anointing in our life. It makes the whole difference. What it is actually, and I'm going to say a few words about in introduction, what it means. In the New Testament, the word is chrisma. But it means divine authority and ability. Divine authority and ability. The anointing of the Lord gives every believer authority you never had before. You understand? It gives you ability that you do not possess and you are not born with. You are at work. And believe me, I mean, I'm not talking only about what we do in church. I'm talking about what you do at work. You have God's anointing on your life. You have a meeting with everybody there. And suddenly you speak with authority and everybody's shocked. And they do what you say. You try things you never done before. And you accomplish some things, everybody's shocked. You are shocked because you're not that smart. I'm telling you, you're not. Okay? And suddenly something happens. And I'm telling you, it's the divine authority and ability that comes through God's anointing on your life. And here is the problem. We go through life and we don't recognize that. We work like losers and we do not know that we have God on our side. That God's anointing is on us, on our lives. Secondly, it's divine touch and presence. Listen again to the verse from John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. It says, this anointing abides in you. It's God's presence. It's God's touch in your life. You it's not very tangible. You can't explain it. But here is what I tell you this tonight. I know I have God's touch on my life. I cannot explain it to everybody. But I know it's there. I feel it. I see it. Sometimes it's just shocks me how God works through his presence in our lives, in my life, in your life. Here he says, the anointing abides in you. This verse is dangerous in a way because it says, hey, you don't need anybody to teach you if you have the anointing. Because the Spirit in your life, Spirit that abides in you, teaches you things, gives you all kind of information and revelation. And then couple more things here. It's a divine seal of approval. You know what's the anointing? There is anointing of every believer. Okay, when you become God's children, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins and you receive the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes in your life, you know what it means? God approves you. God's hand on your life. It's God's approval. It's the seal of approval. And let me say something tonight. I look at every one of you, to every one of you. Here is the thing. If the Lord doesn't approve you, if people don't approve you, if people mock you, if the world mocks you, I want you to know tonight, God approves you. There is a seal of approval on your life.
God shouts out, he's my child, she's my daughter, these are my people, and we have God's approval on our life. Of course, I'll say the last thing here, it's the greatest symbol, it's oil, okay? And for those who don't know, you're never curious to find out, I give you a passage from the Bible to read. Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 to 25, then verse 31, to see the way they're making this holy oil, and it's still made in the same way. Actually, I don't know how many of you watched the coronation of King Charles. You know that the most important thing that happened in that coronation, it was the anointing with oil, fresh oil, produced in Jerusalem, prayed by many, many pastors, leaders of churches, and it was a very important thing. And they still make it in the same way. But now, let's see what is the anointing doing in our lives. So I'm going to speak about seven things. I'm going to take my time. I didn't ask David how long I should preach. I asked Brother Lazar, but he's not the pastor anymore. He said, go forever more, right? So blame Brother Gog, okay, David, if I preach too long. But I'm going to speak about that. And then at the end, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite you to receive a fresh anointing from the Lord. For the church, for people, for young people. I really believe in a special anointing that makes the difference in our lives. So what is the anointing doing? The anointing signifies consecration and commitment. They did that with the priests, with the king, with the kings, with people that were called in ministry, people that are set apart. They did that, for instance, with Aaron and his sons, with the priests. Do you know what it means? The anointing means that we are consecrated for the Lord. We can't live like the world because on our lives is the oil, is the anointing of God, and we represent God in this world. So it's significant, for us because it really means the consecration of our lives. Now let me say something. Anointing is dangerous because if you live a life that does not honor God, and you play with it, actually anointing could kill you, could do damage to your life. Because God is not going to play with me and with you when it comes to his standard, to his righteousness, to his holiness. God will not do that. But it means consecration. Secondly, the anointing bestows authority on our lives. I want to say this to everyone here, to speak in your life. If you are God's child, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, if you receive the Lord, there is great authority in your life. The anointing brings authority. I already mentioned this. Everywhere you go, you know, you walk with authority. There is power in your life. You know, people are scared of you. People do not understand this, and sometimes we do not understand. But I do believe everywhere that Christian steps, you step in God's authority. God is bigger than the government, than the president, than the mayor, than anybody else. Maybe some of you remember COVID, what we had in Chicago. I stood up to the mayor, to the governor. They charged me with disorderly conduct. But I'm telling you something. I never in my life felt more authority from God than in that moment. When I saw all the forces of evil coming against us, and somehow I was afraid. People said, why do you have to do this? Here is what I learned. When I opened my mouth, it's God's authority that speaks through me. And when we go in a place, in that place, God is present through you through the authority God is giving to your life. And here is the thing. Some of you are afraid of, why are you afraid of? Some of the parents, we are afraid of our children. Well, what's going to happen? We are so afraid of media. We are so afraid of people around us. I'm telling you tonight, it's time to stand up. We have authority from the Lord of Lords, from the God of Gods, for the one who reigns forevermore. Anointing bestows authority on our lives. More than that, it empowers us for ministry, gives us influence. Now, it's one thing to be able to play instruments, to speak, to do some things. You could do it in your own power, in your own talent. But I'm telling you something. When you do it in God's anointing, things are different. People are changed. When we speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, things change around because it empowers us for ministry. Now, sometimes I'm shocked, you know, because God is not calling the smartest. And they are not. God is not calling all the geniuses of this world. I mean, you know, take Billy Graham. He even wrote in his biography, he says, I'm shocked, I'm paraphrasing, I'm shocked that God will take a farmer boy that didn't know nothing and to use it for his glory around the world. You know what was the difference? It was God's anointing because it empowers us for ministry. Look at us. Okay? I mean, you look at all the people. You know, Brother Moses, Yele de la Tsara. I'm sorry for you, man. But I am from the Tsara. I show some friends a picture from my native place. Do you know what's that? Bivoli? Man, they were beautiful. Black. Crazy. Ugly. Dirty. And I came from that place. And let me say something. It's only God's anointing that brought me to this place. Because God, through His anointing, empowers people for ministry. Now, Fratele Gog, he's a titan of Pentecostal movement. Wow. Do you know? He's from the Tsara too. Right? And you look at people and you sometimes see a young person. How is that possible? And here is the difference. It's God's anointing. God's anointing empowers for ministry. Moreover, the anointing yields inspiration and favor, gives revelation. And I'll take a few moments to give some personal examples. I see God working in my life in that way. You know, maybe many of you know that we are relocating with our church. And God blessed us with one of the most amazing campuses. Okay? Chicago, almost 7 acres of land, 6 buildings. It's undeserved. Everybody comes there and says, wow, this is amazing. And here is the thing. The Catholics built the place. The Pope sanctified the place. And God gave us the place. And I go there, every time I go there, I say, Lord, how did you do this? But I want to tell you a little bit of the story. You know, about years back in 2018, we were under contract with the property. And we were so excited. Imagine this. We said, we are going to move. We are going to build. One night, Sunday night, we did a fundraiser. And we raised almost $1 million. And we were under contract with that property. It was summer. I was at the General Assembly in Orlando. The attorney calls me, says, hey, Pastor, bad news. You lost the contract. And said, the Cadillac dealership came and gave more money. No contingencies, and there is nothing I can do. Let me tell you what happened to me. I became depressed. said, are you there? Are you still working? What's happening? Came home. I didn't know how to go to church to tell. And I lost everybody in a sense. Everybody said, maybe it's not from the Lord. God doesn't want us to move. And who could argue with that? When someone said, hey, God doesn't want us to move, who could argue with that? So I'm going through this struggle. I was praying. I said, God, what do we do now? What's going to happen? So in the fall of 2018, I went with Michelle to a small conference in Cleveland, Tennessee, where all the leadership of Church of God. It was a banquet. We went there to eat, like we like to eat. And they invited a person to give a short speech, motivational speech. It was Marcus Lamb. He was the founder and president of Daystar Television. And Marcus, he tells his story. So how God took him from Alabama, a boy that didn't know anything, and used him to build an empire, because that's the largest television, Christian television in the world. He went to be with the Lord about a year ago. But at the end, after he told his testimony, he said, I feel that there is someone here that needs prayer. So I said, told Michelle, hey, you want to come with me to go there to pray, have him pray for us? I'm really depressed. So I went there and he prayed simply. Other pastors came and prayed for us. And I told him, said, hey, I thought I have this great vision from God, and now it's completely dead. I don't know what to do. I have a problem with God. And this guy is praying for me, and he prays softly, not long. And at the end, he said, the Lord is telling me to tell you that the vision is from the Lord, that the vision is not dead. God is teaching you something, and soon you'll see what God has for you. And I cried. I said, hey, God is good. I came home and nothing happens. Months passed by. I saw tens of properties, actually. I said, Lord, what are you doing? Are you doing something? Do I still need to push? I'm completely confused. And I thought I'm never confused. So one morning, I drink my coffee. I'm alone. And think about this. I never watch news in the morning, okay? Never watch news in the morning. I see the remote. It's like I hear a voice. Turn the TV on. I take the remote. Phew, local news. Local news at 9 a.m. CBS News. And so next segment, it's about a church that's protesting. They are making a big fuss against the cardinal. So, wow, this must be interesting. Thank you. And now I'm curious. I want to see what's there. I hope it's not about my church. And I don't know anything. But it's a Catholic church. So I listen for the moment. And the segment comes. And I see these people protesting. The cardinal ordered three big churches with big campuses, each one with school, to merge, to become one church because they lost members, they lost finances, and they are forced to, and people don't want to. And they are protesting. They block the road. So I'm watching that, and I clearly hear a voice in my head. And I knew it's the Holy Spirit. It says, hey, this is the church I have for you. This is your church. I was still in PJ because I had board meeting the previous night that I got home at 4 a.m. So I said, okay, I'm dressing myself. I changed. I went to that church. It was 1.7 or something like 1. Under 2 miles from our house. I passed by it hundreds of times, every time going to the airport. And I didn't know how big it is. So I'm going there 2 hours later. Nobody was there. I walk around that property. I say, God, if this is your will, I claim this property for our church. This is ours. If it's your will, it's ours. I know it's yours, but give it to us. And I started to work on it. I contacted people, contacted a friend, a real estate Polish guy, you know, like Romania, said, hey, you're Catholic. Do you know anybody there? Do you know? And the guy tells me, you know what? Pastor, they will never sell it to you. And if they will sell it to you, you don't have the money because they'll want maybe $15-20 million. Do you have that much money? And I looked at him and said, no, but my dad has. And he's so dense. He looks at me and says, oh, your dad in Romania has that much money. I said, lucky you. I left it there, but I was talking about my God, my dad. And to make it short, time went by, more than a year. And when the pandemic started, the guy called me, said, Pastor, do you still want the church? I said, man, it's COVID now, but I want the church. And you know what? We just closed for the last portion of the property. And instead of paying $20 million, we paid $5 million. And God is giving us revelation. God, when you have God's anointing on your life, you don't know exactly how it works. But I want to say something. It works. For David, for preachers, for everybody here, walk and speak in God's anointing. I want to tell you another story here, and because I think it's important. You know, in May, last Sunday in May, I went to Knox, Indiana, small church. We ordained two young men to become deacons and work in that church. And one of them is a teacher. And I'm preaching about anointing of the minister. And on that moment, I feel in my spirit to say something that's out of the box. So I don't want to say things out of the box because people verify you now more than before, right? It's easy. So I say to this young man, I say, hey, you are a teacher, and soon you'll become a school principal. And I went with my sermon. I said, why did I say that? Okay. A few weeks later, he writes me a message and says, Pastor, I can say with confidence you prophesied over me. I accepted to become principal of North White Elementary School in Monum, Indiana. I had no idea. I have no idea that he applied, that he wants to be, but I felt in my spirit under the anointing to say those words. And I want to tell you tonight that it works. It brings revelation in your life. Don't think you are too smart for God. If you think that, I'm sorry to say you're stupid. If I think that I am too smart for God, I'm stupid. Because there is no one like us, our God. He knows everybody and he knows everything. And he connects the things and he informs us and gives us insight, favor, and revelation. This is our God. And a couple more things. Coming to a close, I'll be short. It brings healing. Anointing brings healing. Now in James, it says, when you are sick, invite the elders of the church to anoint you with oil. Here is the thing. The healing is not in the oil. And it's not in the pastor or the elder that does the anointing. It's in God's anointing. It's in God's touch. It's in God's presence. So anointing brings healing. Next, the anointing breaks strongholds. Breaks strongholds. Some of you maybe are fighting something in your life. A stronghold, an addiction, something that you are dealing with. You want to get rid of that. You are not able to. It's powerful in your life. It's power because sin is power. Addiction is power. Stronghold is power. But I want to proclaim tonight, there is a greater power. It's the power that comes through anointing that breaks that stronghold. Comes into your life
and breaks the chain that binds people. This is what the anointing does. It has a power, incredible power that operates in our life. And finally, creates a shield around us. Creates a shield around us. Read some of these verses. Psalm 92, verse 10, or 105, verse 5. There are so many verses in the scripture that talks about the fact that God's presence and anointing creates a shield around us. It doesn't mean you don't go through the situation, but in the situation, God creates a shield. Thinking my life, I want to say something tonight. The last 3-4 years, we went to so many things. We had so many surgeries, both me and Michelle. We lost our dads. We went through all kinds. We've seen all kinds of situations. Here is the thing. I was even attacked in Chicago. I had my nose broken in 4 places. 7 guys beat me up pastorally, okay? And I didn't have my gun. Now, I don't have a gun yet, but I'm going to buy one. So many crazy things happened to me. But here is what I observed. Even through all of this, I never see more favor from God like now. I see it, I feel it. The devil comes against us. The devil is furious. He hates when he sees God's children walking in the anointing of the Spirit. He hates it. He's afraid of people that have the anointing of God. The devil is afraid of you when you walk in God's anointing. And here is the situation. When we go through that kind of stuff, the anointing creates a shield. Even around your enemies. Maybe you're at work. You're a young person, new in your job, and people hate you because you are a Christian, because you are bold and courageous. I'm telling now, God's anointing, it's a shield for you. God's anointing, it's power for you. They want to take you down, but God wants to take you up because He's your God. It's the anointing that makes the difference. And I invite the worship team. Can you come, guys? Jason and everyone else, Lucian. I want to come before the Lord today. And I want you to invite that anointing in your life. Some of you maybe are here, you are bored with life. Nothing happens in your life. You see people passionate for God and you don't feel anything. I want to say something tonight. It's God's Spirit in the house that wants to change the situation in your life. Maybe some of you, you have strongholds in your life. You fight things from the past. You fight things that nobody knows about. It's God's anointing that breaks strongholds. He has the power. He makes the difference. Maybe you are in a situation, your job, in your business. Here is the thing. God's anointing on your life gives you favor. In the midst of the situations with those people, it's God's anointing that makes the difference. And I invite you to stand now and let's prepare our hearts with a song. And would you give me permission to invite people to pray for them, Pastor? And I really want to invite people tonight. If you want, here is the thing. I'm not inviting you just for physical healing. Maybe some you have physical problems. And the anointing heals. It's God's touch. It's the divine presence. God is doing mighty things. But any situation in your life, maybe you are here tonight and say, hey, I want fresh anointing on my life. David is in a desperate situation. He says, Lord, I said in Romania, am dai, tum dai mie puterea bivolului și munci capul cu un de lemn prospăt. It's God's anointing. Haideți să cântăm acum. Let's worship the Lord. And while we sing, would you like to do that? Just step here. Let's pray together. Let's come before the Lord. Say, Lord, we don't want anything else. Tonight we don't ask for money. We don't ask even for healing. We don't ask for things. We don't ask for wisdom. Tonight, we ask for your anointing. We invite your Spirit on our lives.
Now, at a second, let's worship and keep coming, keep coming.